The following is a seminar entitled Beware of Mayavadi Philosophy, Part 1, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 24th, 2012, in Sydney, Australia.
So, today, to inaugurate our Beware of Mayavadi Philosophy seminar, we will study Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 28, text number 62. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Aham
Bhavan
Na
Cha
Anya
Tvam
Eva
Aham
Vichakshva
Bho
Na
Now
Pashyanti
Kavaya
Chidram
Jatu
Manak
Api
Aham Bhavana Chanyashtvam
Aham Bhavana Chanyashtvam
Vamivaham Vichakshvabho
Vamivaham Vichakshvabho
Now Pashyanti Kavayash Chindrang Jatu Managapi
Aham
Bhavana Chanyashtvam
Aham Bhavana Chanyashtvam
Vamivaham Vichakshvabho
Vamivaham Vichakshvabho
Now Pashyanti Kavayash
Now Pashyanti Kavayash
Chidrang Jatu Managapi
Chidrang Jatu Managapi
Aham,
I,
Bhavan,
you,
na,
not,
cha,
also,
anya,
different,
tvam,
you,
tvam,
you,
eva, certainly,
aham,
as I am,
vichakshva,
just observe,
bho,
my dear friend,
na,
not,
now,
of us,
pashyanti,
do observe,
kavaya,
learned scholars,
chitram,
faulty differentiation,
jatu,
at any time,
manak,
in a small degree, api,
even.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality, for we are both spiritual. In fact, my dear friend, you are qualitatively not different from me in your constitutional position. Just try to consider this subject. Those who are actually advanced scholars who are in knowledge do not find any qualitative difference between you and me. Purport. Bho, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entity are qualitatively one. There is no factual difference between the two. The Mayavadi philosophers are again and again defeated by the illusory energy because they think that there is no separation between the super soul and the individual soul, or that there is no super soul. They are also misled in thinking that everything is the super soul. However, those who are kaviyaha, Learned scholars actually know the facts. They do not commit such mistakes. They know that God and the individual soul are one in quality, but that the individual soul falls under the clutches of Maya, whereas the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the controller of Maya. Maya is the creation of the Supreme Lord, Maya Shastra. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the controller of Maya. Although one in quality with the Supreme Lord, the individual soul is under the control of Maya. Mayavadi philosophers cannot distinguish between the controller and the controlled.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatha Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragna Danvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, is there a group who call themselves the Mayavadis? We call ourselves the Hare Krishnas, so is there a group, and we are the Mayavadis? No. They don't use that word for themselves. This is a word that we use to describe them. Mayavadi, we are Krishnavadis, you see. Vadi means one who sticks to a principle, a follower of a principle. We are Krishnavadis, Bhaktivadis, you see. They are Maya. We call them Mayavadis because they stick to the principle that the form of the Lord is Maya. They say that this form, Gopinath, you see, or the form of Krishna that is revealed in Bhagavad Gita, it is a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. It has no factual existence. The form of God has no factual existence. Therefore, they are called Mayavadis. According to their philosophy, everything is one. That oneness is God, an impersonal, formless God. And any conception other, any perception or conception different from undifferentiated oneness is Maya or illusion. So, in this Mayavadi philosophy, there is no scope for relationship. There is no scope for love. Love cannot exist because everything is one. You see. Prabhupada says, love means two, Krishna and you. In the early days of ISKCON, the Bodhisattva, Prabhupada is always talking about the Mayavadis. Bashing the Mayavadis. Well, this is some rival sect of Hinduism, they thought. But then they realized that they were the Mayavadis. And Prabhupada was smashing them. And that's a fact, I know. Because those of us back in the 60s who were looking for spiritual enlightenment from India, first I looked to all the Western philosophers, and they had nothing. They didn't even talk about a state of unadulterated bliss. There was no such concept that you could achieve unlimited bliss, you know, samadhi or enlightenment. And the Western philosophers had not even the idea of them. So then we heard about these Indian gurus, you see. They were talking about, you know, samadhi or a state of enlightenment where you become completely blissful. But all the books we had were Mayavadi books. It's all Mayavadi. So what did we know? We thought Christianity seemed very sectarian and limited, so we turned to India and we got all these Mayavadi books in the bookstores. It was circulating through our countercultural circuit, all the books, the popular books, you see. There's like one book was called The Book, was the name, the title, and the subtitle was On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. And the book proceeded to explain to us, the author proceeded to explain to us that actually you are God. You've simply forgotten that. So right now you're playing hide and go seek with yourself. So you simply have to come out of hiding, you see. You simply have to come out of hiding and be God again, you see. You have to come out. You know, you've been hiding, now come out and be God. You see? So this was very common. The Beatles were also propagating Mayavadi philosophy. They had one song called Tomorrow Never Knows. Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. Lay down all thought, surrender to the void. Is it glowing? Is it glowing? You see, this was how we were introduced to Indian spirituality, the idea of impersonal oneness or void, you see. So when Prabhupada came, it was quite revolutionary, you see. It was quite revolutionary. This whole idea that God is a person. We had heard that in Christianity, and in Christianity especially, we had the idea that God was a person, but the whole thing was so sectarian and so fanatical that, you know, this Indian thing sounded a lot more attractive. The impersonal philosophy seemed a lot more attractive than Christian sectarianism, because it was all inclusive, you know. Everybody was part of it. Whereas Christianity was very exclusive, you know. You don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell, you know, and that's it. You're going to burn in hell forever. But the Mayavadi idea is more inclusive, you know. You know, they say all paths lead to the same goal, you know, all these different Mayavadi concepts. So in that way it was attractive, but it killed God. That was the problem. It actually killed him, you see. That was the problem. It was very, very popular after I joined ISKCON, I was preaching on the campuses, and it was back in the early 70s. That was the hip, cool thing, to be a Mayavadi philosopher. Everybody was a Mayavadi philosopher. Even my godbrother Shamakunda, he was out distributing books on the University of Florida campus, and he approached one student. The student said, "I don't need your book, it's all one." So Shamakunda said, "Well, if it's all one, then give me your wallet. It doesn't matter if you have it or I have it, because it's all one." And the boy wanted to prove that he really believed in Mayavadi philosophy. He gave Shamakunda his wallet. And he immediately headed back to the temple. So that boy had to come to the temple and beg his wallet back. You know? So it was very, very... they would come up to me. I was doing prasad distribution on the Gainesville campus, you know, and the student would come in and say, "I am God." It was very, very common, you see. This Mayavadi philosophy means that now you are God, you see. There are two Vedic aphorisms which are abused by the Mayavadis. Tatvamasmi and Aham Brahmasmi. We know that what they mean according to the Vaishnava Acharyas. Aham Brahmasmi means I am spirit. Tatvamasmi means you are of that same quality as the Supreme. But they take it differently. Aham Brahmasmi means I am God. And Tatvamasmi means you are God. You see. So this philosophy is so all-pervading. I recently signed up for a... on LinkedIn, which is a networking website that you may have heard of. But there was a seminar or a conference for spiritual authors. Since I'm a spiritual author, I thought I would, you know, just see what I would find on this conference for spiritual authors. And it's just completely all Mayavadis. It's so, you know, they say everybody's a guru, everybody's God. I mean, it's like that, you see. It's going on right now. It's not just something in a textbook. Mayavadi philosophy is going on full steam right now at this very minute. People out there vibrating Mayavadi philosophy that it's all one. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Now the popular buzzword is spirituality. Religion is out, spirituality is in. Their concept of spirituality is Mayavadi philosophy. You see, and that's considered the cool thing for the youth now. Spirituality, not religion, you know. Organized religion, that's for fanatics, you know, less intelligent, fanatical people. But Mayavadi, the Mayavadi is idea of spirituality. Yes, this is very good, you see. So if we can find a way to connect with the Mayavadis and bring them to Krishna consciousness, you see, it would be a huge revolution for our movement. So it's very important that everyone knows very intimately well what is Mayavadi philosophy and how to defeat it and how to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that is actually attractive to Mayavadis, you see. Prabhupada is very expert at doing that. Case in point, 22nd Avenue, all the Mayavadis, hippies, you know, right off their LSD trips, I am God LSD trips. They were sitting there in 22nd Avenue. So how did he preach to them? You can study those early lectures in the Veda Base or on the MP3 collection. You'll be amazed to see Prabhupada's style of preaching was quite different than once his movement got established. When he was just preaching to these Mayavadi hippies, whole different style of preaching he used. He would talk about you have to dovetail your individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness. That theme, again and again, Prabhupada used, dovetail your individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness. Krishna was gradually snuck in the idea of the personality of God. You know, it was there, but not so prominent. As later, it was this idea that was more, they could appeal to the impersonalist, you see. Dovetail your individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness. So, there are very, very, very good arguments from Prabhupada to help us understand this Mayavadi outlook and the Vaishnava outlook. And what the difference is, etc. The Mayavadis and us agree that we are qualitatively one with God. We're completely in agreement, you see. And that side, we're completely in agreement, yes. We are all one with God. That's true. You can take an example, just like here we are in Australia, we're sitting in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you see. Now you can go down to the beach, and you can take a drop of Pacific Ocean water in your water, and you can say, Prabhu, here is Pacific Ocean. And we'll say, yes, that is Pacific Ocean. You went down to the beach, you brought it from, you brought some, here's Pacific Ocean, we will accept. But if you tell me here is the Pacific Ocean, you'll say, you're crazy. You understand? Pacific Ocean, that yes, but the Pacific Ocean, which means the entire Pacific Ocean, that would be insane. In the palm of your hand, who do you think you are, Brahma? You see? So, we see the difference qualitatively. There is qualitative oneness and quantitative difference. The Mayavadi doesn't see the quantitative difference. Our philosophy is the absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably one and different. Their philosophy is the absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably one and the same. We both agree with one. On the one side, we agree, qualitatively one, but quantitatively, that's where we disagree with the Mayavadis, you see. This Mayavadi philosophy is so dangerous that Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi basha shunile hoi sarvanash. Anyone who takes to an understanding of Mayavadi philosophy, his spiritual life is completely doomed forever. somehow the Prabhupada saved us in spite of that being we were poisoned by Mayavadi philosophy. I don't know how he did it, but it was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He somehow saved us, you see, from this Mayavadi philosophy. Even though normally one who takes to it is completely doomed. Somehow Prabhupada was able to save us in spite of that fact. So in what way is that qualitative oneness manifested? The Supreme Person is eternal. He's full of knowledge. He's full of bliss. The individual living entity is also eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. The difference is Krishna or God is the complete whole and we are the tiny part of him. That is the difference. Because he is the complete whole and we are the part, therefore we have a relationship of servitude with him. This is not dogma, this is science. You can take anything. You take your body, you can take an automobile, a watch. Take anything that functions in an organized way, and you'll see that the part of that thing serves the complete whole function of that thing. This is a natural law, a scientific principle, a universal truth. The part of a thing serves the complete whole thing of that thing. So, by analyzing that we are part of that complete whole, it is a natural conclusion, therefore, a scientific deduction that we are therefore necessarily meant to serve that complete whole. That complete whole reveals himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is that complete whole. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So, since Krishna is emanating everything from himself, everything is part of him, actually. So we being part of Krishna, the part and parcel of Krishna, are necessarily meant to serve him. So, since Krishna is emanating everything from himself, in that sense, everything is Krishna. The Mayavadis will say everything is Krishna. In one sense, it's true, because everything is Krishna's expanded energy. Krishna from himself has expanded everything. In fact, Prabhupada even states in one place, he says, there is nothing but Krishna that exists. You may be shocked to hear that's Mayavadi couldn't say that, it's Mayavadi, but no, you have to understand what he means. There is nothing but Krishna, but nothing is Krishna except for his original primeval personality. This is, in a nutshell, the perfect explanation of Achincha Beta Beta philosophy. Krishna is emanating everything from himself, you see. Some people say, well, I thought God created us. That means at a certain point we didn't exist and then he created us. But that's not the right understanding. God is our eternal creator or manifester. It's not that we didn't exist and at a certain point he created us out of himself. No. Na tvevahang jatu na sang na tong nemi janadipa. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So when it says that God creates us, it's an eternal fact. He's eternally manifesting us from himself. We're his eternal emanations, you see. We do not exist separately from Krishna, but yet we are his separated energy. We exist by dint of the fact that he is manifesting us or emanating us from himself. It's like the fire contains so many sparks. We are sparks of that fire, and that fire is Krishna. So if the spark is separated from the fire, what happens? It goes out. And that's our position here in this material existence. We are separated from God, therefore we are in a state of misery and ignorance, temporality. But when that spark is back in the fire, then it, if it remains in the fire, then it has full brilliance, full heat. So we simply have to reconnect ourselves with Krishna. And then we regain our original natural consciousness. So how did Mayavadi philosophy come into being? It may have existed previously. I haven't researched it. But we know that it was popularized by Shankaracharya. So why did he do that? After Krishna left this planet, the Indian civilization became very, very degraded. In the Vedic scriptures, actually it's during the Treta Yuga, the Brahmanas would chant mantras. It's called a cow sacrifice. They would take an old cow while chanting mantras and put the cow into the sacrificial fire, and that old cow would come out of the fire with a new body. Cow rejuvenation, it wasn't cow killing. You can just imagine if we could do such a yajna now, immediately you come to our temple, we have a fire yajna, all the old people come, and just, we will chant some mantra, you enter the fire and you come out as a teenager. It would be really popular. You see? So that we don't have such qualified Brahmins now. You see, actually, it required absolutely perfect pronunciation of every single syllable of every single of the mantras. In fact, there would be a referee Brahmana who would listen to make sure there was no mistake, because if something was mispronounced, it can throw off the whole yajna. You see? Therefore, this is not an age for fire yajnas. Devotees want to do the yajna here, yajna there, but actually, this is not the age for fire yajnas. This is an age for sankirtan yajna. So anyway, they said, well, look, it's Vedic. Cow killing is Vedic. That's great. We can kill the cow and eat. It's Vedic. The Brahmins were cow killing, so we are also killing the cows now. So Krishna, being very kind upon the poor animals, he appeared as Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha, he denied the authority of Vedas. He said simply this principle: if you cause suffering to other living beings, that suffering will come back to you. He taught the principle of karma and ahimsa. You must stop torturing these poor animals because you will be tortured. Because they were so much abusing the Vedic scriptures, and they didn't have the brain to understand the subtle aspects of Vaishnava Siddhanta. He just said, forget the Vedas. Stop killing these poor creatures. You see, become non-violent. So after the emperor, his name was Ashoka, after the emperor embraced Buddhism, you see, then it became very widespread. Vedic culture was completely wiped out. Buddhism took over all of India. So the cow killing had stopped, but now Vedic culture was gone. What to do? How to bring Vedic culture back to India? The home of Vedic culture, there was no Vedic culture. It was wiped out. No varnashram. Completely wiped out. No studying in the Vedic scriptures. They were just completely neglected now. And Buddhism was the religion, you see. So what to do? So Krishna ordered Shankaracharya, or Lord Shiva, that you appeared as a Brahmana, Shankaracharya. And you present the Vedic conclusion in such a way that it is be appealing to the Buddhists, the atheistic Buddhists. In other words, you see, someone may say, I don't believe in God. There is no God. But you say, but if I could tell you that you were God, do you think you'd be interested? Well, if I'm God, yeah, maybe I'd be interested. If I can be God, yeah. Tell me how I'm God, and maybe I can believe in God, you see. So in this way, the impersonal philosophy is appealing to the atheists. The atheists say everything is, the Buddhists say it's all zero. Void, you see, Shunyavadi philosophy. It's all void. The Mayavadi philosophy, it's all one. In both cases, it's impersonal, there's no duality, so they're very close to each other. To say everything is... Actually, Prabhupada says Mayavadi philosophy is simply covered Buddhism. Because practically speaking, it's the same as Buddhism. It's the covered form of Buddhism. It's a covered form of atheism. So, Shankaracharya, he took the... And we'll be studying later on. We'll be studying in the Shvetashvatara. In the next session, we'll be studying from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. And we'll see how you can twist the mantras, how you can misunderstand the mantras very easily. But how actually it is a personal understanding, you see. But he would take the especially Vedanta Sutra, which is and it's just simply code words, and through very expert grammatical word jugglery, you see, Sanskrit word jugglery, he was able to extract or to squeeze out an impersonal understanding of the Vedic scriptures. So in this way, he didn't live very long. He only lived to be, I think, 48 years old. He didn't live so long, but he was able to completely drive Buddhism out of India and reestablish Vedic culture on a misunderstanding, a compromised version of the Vedic conclusion. It was half true. Of course, we know the danger of half truth. Perhaps you all have heard of Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. You've all heard of Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, half-hand logic. It's very dangerous, you see. A half-truth is worse than no truth, actually. Because it advertises itself as truth. So ignorance is actually better than a half-truth. So anyway, there's an example of this Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, half-hand logic. The farmer... He had a very nice hen, very plump hen. It was laying nice big eggs. Commanded a very good price in the market. He was very happy with his hen. Oh, this wonderful hen, making so much profit on these eggs, you see. But there was one difficulty. That hen ate a lot of feed. He's saying, well, if I could just... I could become a millionaire if I could just convince... find how somehow stop having to feed this hen so much... chicken feed, you see. So, he said, I have a great idea. This end of the hen that lays the egg is very good. This end of the hen that eats so much feed is not very good. I will just take the good half of the hen. So he took an axe and cut off the hen's head, you see. And then the foolish farmer, he was waiting for the eggs to come out. And they wouldn't come. You see what a fool he was, you see. He killed the hen. He's not going to get any eggs, you see. So this half-hen logic, you see, that is not very good philosophy. You take half of something and neglect the other half, you see. That it's all one, yes, that we accept, but the other half and different simultaneously. No, we don't take that half. You see, then you kill your spiritual life completely. You completely kill your spiritual life. The Mayavadis, the real Mayavadis, not these Mickey Mouse Mayavadis here in the yoga studios, but the real Mayavadis, you know, the staunch Mayavadis in India, who do great penances and austerities, studying Vedanta, you see. Even if they can achieve that impersonal Brahman realization, it's described in Bhagavatam, Avruya Krishchena Parang Padam Patapatantyaja Nadrsha Dushmadangriyaha. Even after undergoing great penances and austerities, Krishchena means with great endeavor. By great endeavor, with great, great struggle and endeavor, they're able to achieve that Sayuja Mukti merging into impersonal Brahman. What will happen to them? Patanti yadho. They fall down again into material existence because they have no regard for the lotus feet of Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example, it's like the airplane takes off and flies in the sky. But when he runs out of fuel, he has to come down for landing, you see. So by great piety, great austerities, they get some punya that empowers them to float for some time in the Brahman sky. But after they burn off the result of all that punya, then they come down again in material existence. So the Mayavadis, they realize only the sat feature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. They don't realize chit, nor do they realize ananda. So without ananda, what is there, you see? How long can you go on simply, you know, relishing, I am eternal, I am eternal, I am eternal, I am eternal, when there's nothing to do when you're in that eternity? There's no relationships. There's nothing to see, nothing to hear, nothing to do, nothing to smell, nothing to taste. Just, I am eternal, I am eternal, I am eternal. How long can you be happy in that position? I have to be in, it's like being in hell for all of eternity, you see. Therefore, they come down again to material sense enjoyment once again. It's not a position that you can remain in. The Mayavadi position is not, you can't stay there. It doesn't satisfy the self, you see. Therefore, this nirvana of the perfection of the Mayavadis and the Buddhists, nirvana means no more material existence, is minimized by the bhakti bliss. Therefore, bhakti bliss is called nirvana vilambitani, that which minimizes the Buddhistic or impersonal liberation. So, if one can understand fully well, what is the position of the Mayavadis? What is the position of the Vaishnavas, you see? Then one can relish the sweetest happiness. The Mayavadis will all fall down. It's guaranteed. Sooner or later, they will all fall down. They cannot maintain that position. We've seen notable examples. There was one so-called Vaishnava guru preaching actually in our city of Austin. He called himself a Vaishnava and a Chaitanya follower, but he was presenting Mayavadi philosophy also. He was talking about Rupa Goswami, talking about Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, he was presenting Mayavadi philosophy. So he's a very popular Swami, Indian Swami. But then he was messing around with the young teenage girls, and they reported him to the police, and he had to flee the country and give up his ashram. He had a whole movement, actually. Austin was his world headquarters. He had to abandon his whole movement and go into hiding from the legal authorities. He was like an 80-year-old man. They sentenced him to 20 years in prison, so he'd be dead. So he just fled the country. And this is it, you see, because you don't get a higher taste. He didn't have, so he was attracted to the breasts of young girls, you see. The daughters of his disciples would come for darshan. I won't say anything more. You can get the idea of where he didn't have the higher taste. So this is the problem with Mayavadi philosophy, you see. You can artificially deny the suffering of this material existence, saying, you know, spirit is truth and matter is false. But unless you can actually enter into the taste of spirituality in a loving relationship with that all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-wealthy, all-famous, and unbelievably rich Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're not going to be satisfied. You won't be satisfied, you see. You'll come down again to material existence. So we have a few minutes left here on session number one. Are there any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Maharaj, if you have a relative who are following Mayavadi philosophy, so can you tell me how to deal with them?
How do you, if you have a relative who's a follower of Mayavadi philosophy, how do you deal with them? Well, the first thing is give them a lot of prasadam. Prasadam is the first class Mayavadi defeater. Prabhupada had the old ISKCON bullets are notorious for defeating Mayavadis. See, according to Mayavadi, everyone is God, you know. Durga is God, Shiva is God, Krishna is God, I'm God, you're God, the beggar in the street is God, the Ridhanarayan, everyone is God. So everybody is, they actually have the audacity to say, I don't need to go to the temple because Krishna is not in the temple. He's everywhere, but he's not in the temple. I mean, it's crazy. If everything is God, then Radha Gopinath is also God. So bring them to the temple. And just let them get an experience, you see. You don't have unless somebody argues Mayavadi philosophy, we don't have to attack them. If somebody attacks us, then very strongly we will defeat Mayavadi philosophy. Prabhupada is very strong. There's a famous story when Prabhupada went to MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston. There was one Indian man there who was arguing Mayavadi philosophy with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he was saying, it's Swamiji, it's all one. He was like really hammering on it, you know. No, it's all one. And Prabhupada grabbed his T-shirt, or his shirt. He said, if it's all one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball, you know. And devotees couldn't understand. They said, oh, Swamiji's losing his temper. Let's call a cab and get him out of here. They couldn't understand Prabhupada's divine anger, you see. But Prabhupada was very, very strong to defeat these Mayavadis, you see. But that's if they attack us. But other than that, just be real mellow. I wouldn't attack them. Just be real mellow. Oh, come on, man. Tell them how beautiful the deities are. These are the most amazing deities, Radha Gopinath. They were bought, the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, brought them to Sydney from India. He installed them. Just give all the positive stuff. Just give all the positive nectar. Just drown them in an ocean of nectar, you see. Now forget their Mayavadi philosophy. You see. Just like Prabhupada did to us, we were all Mayavadis, you see. And Prabhupada just drowned us in an ocean of mercy, an ocean of nectar. So we forgot this Mayavadi philosophy. Just rejected it as garbage, you see. Let them get that higher taste. Okay, next question. Isn't it that only Uttamadhikari devotees of the Lord can preach to Mayavadis? How are we meant to preach to Mayavadis? This is an interesting question. This is really interesting answer also, because when I joined the temple, we were a bunch of young, we were raw recruits right out of the hippie culture. And we were raw Mayavadi hippie recruits that just joined ISKCON. And there on the campus was Dr. Rao. He was teaching philosophy at the University of Texas, a big university, the largest university in the U.S., University of Texas at Austin. And he was presenting what's called, I think it's Theravada Buddhism. It's a form of Mayavadi, you know, impersonalism. And he was smashing duality, you know. He was a heavy philosophical gunslinger. And the hippies are really impressed. You could go what's called auditing a class. He gave lectures in a huge auditorium. Anybody could go and hear the lectures. They used to go for entertainment. The hippies would go and hear his lectures. He was a celebrity on the campus. His Mayavadi philosophy. So our temple president, Sri Galim Prabhu, he wrote Prabhupada, we have a Mayavadi professor on this campus. But we were all brand new, raw recruits to ISKCON. You know, we'd just been Mayavadis ourselves a few weeks before. And Prabhupada said, you should challenge him to a public debate. But he said, give your arguments with a cool head. So it's not just for Uttamadhikaris. Actually, I can tell you this. If you'd like to become an Uttamadhikari, then learn how to defeat Mayavadi philosophy. That will help you to become an Uttamadhikari. The difference between a Majjhamadhikari and an Uttamadhikari is the Majjhamadhikari has full faith. He has unflinching faith in this process, but he's not very good at philosophical arguments. The Uttama has firm faith, and he can completely smash any opposing argument that anybody anywhere in the universe can make against the process of bhakti. That's one distinction Prabhupada makes between the Uttama and the Majjham. So if you will actually learn these arguments, which are Prabhupada's books, his conversations, this seminar also, we're just giving you what we've gotten from Prabhupada, that's all it is. If you will take this wonderful defeat of Mayavadi philosophy from Prabhupada and learn it and master it, then it will help you to become an Uttamadhikari. It will speed up your process of becoming. We're all supposed to become Uttamadhikaris. Prabhupada said that. You go from Kanishta to Majjam to Uttam. We're all meant to become Uttamadhikaris, ultimately. We're all meant to come to that position. So that means everybody should become very, very expert at defeating all opposing arguments. So the question framed from you. All right. What is the difference between impersonalists and Mayavadis? Generally, it's the same. Their terms are interchangeable. However, one time Prabhupada made a distinction. So there is a subtle distinction. A Mayavadi is an impersonalist, but an impersonalist may not be a Mayavadi. So let me give you a clear definition of the difference. For example, the four Kumaras were impersonalists, but they were not Mayavadis, and they became Vaishnavas. Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist, but he was not a Mayavadi, and he became a Vaishnava. An impersonalist can become a Vaishnava, but a Mayavadi, if someone is truly a Mayavadi, it's practically impossible to become a Vaishnava. The difference is, an impersonalist is someone who is advanced. That's all he knows. He's just heard that everything is one. You know, it's all God. That's all he's heard, you see. He doesn't know anything beyond that. If someone tells him that God is a person, he doesn't attack them. He's not like envious of the conception of God being a person. He just hasn't heard about it yet. You see. That's the difference. The impersonalist is not envious. He is not against the idea of God being a person. He just hasn't heard about it yet. He's only heard the impersonal philosophy. He's not against or inimical of the idea of God being a person. But the Mayavadi is openly envious, you see. He's openly envious. I know I had an acupuncturist I was going to. This acupuncturist was Mayavadi. And they were inimical to the idea of God being a person. So that's the difference. When the four Kumaras smelled the incense offered to the Lord, they became transformed into Vaishnavas. When Sukadeva Goswami heard the Bhagavatam within the womb of his mother, he became Vaishnava. So the Mayavadi has impersonal philosophy, but he's absolutely fanatically opposed to the idea of God being a person, whereas the impersonalist is not. He's open. He's a seeker. He's open to hear, you see. He's a sincere seeker, whereas the Mayavadi is actually a closed-minded fanatic. He's attached to the idea of being God, and he doesn't want to give it up. He'll defend his position as God. With fanaticism. That's a Mayavadi. Can one reach the Brahma Jyoti through material punya alone or a spiritual credit of some kind required to reach it? One has to do the proper austerities for achieving a person. Just pious activities alone will not get any Brahman. No. There are certain prescribed methods for. How one can enter into impersonal Brahman. One has to follow those methods. One is, one can never have passed samana at any time during one's life, knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally or unintentionally. One can never have passed samana in any time in one's life and attain impersonal Brahman. So it's not a very easy position. Not a very easy thing. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. Any more questions for this session? Yes.
One devotee asked last night, said, why us and not them? Is it due to pious activities that we accumulated from past? But we hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give what no other incarnation has ever given, pure love of God, and we're the most fallen. So why have we come to Krishna consciousness and not them, due to causeless mercy or due to our pious activities in our previous lives? Or
why have we come and others have not come?
Why have we become attracted to Krishna consciousness, taking it up, and not them? Is it due to our piety, or is it causeless mercy? Or
the mercy has been given to thousands and millions of people. Prabhupada's books have been distributed, the Ratha Yatra festivals, Prasadam. You know, so many people have been given, the causeless mercy has been bestowed upon thousands and millions of people all over the world of this Krishna consciousness movement. How many people have actually taken it? You see, everyone that causes mercy has been bestowed on millions and millions and millions of people all over the world, but only a small, very, very small percentage have taken advantage of that mercy. So why is it that they take advantage? There can be various reasons. One is they were doing it in a previous lifetime and now they're picking up again when they left home. That's one thing. It is a great good fortune. Or somebody could be starting brand new, never having had any contact with it, but now they're taking it up. So it is very, very good fortune if one can do that. If one can realize that I've been blessed with the greatest thing and take that up, it is the greatest good fortune. Any other question? Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for the nice instruction. This Shankaracharya, he mentioned he spread impersonal philosophy over India.
Yeah.
And Vaishnava Acharyas came after that to present the Vaishnava philosophy. But why is it, it appears that Maya philosophy is more powerful than Vaishnava philosophy, because majority are still Mayavadis.
Why does it appear that Mayavadi philosophy is more powerful? Because the majority are still Mayavadis. Sometimes that happens, especially in this, by the influence of the age of Kali. The ignorance of... this is an age of materialism. So in this age, it is natural that that which is true will be considered untrue, and that which is untrue will be considered true. Krishna points out this phenomenon in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 69. Ya nisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagarti samyami yashmang jagarti bhutani sadnasa pushuto mune. What is night for all beings is a time of time awakening for the self-control, and the time awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So that's the nature of this material existence. What is actual spiritual enlightenment is considered ignorance by the common man, you see. And so it's a phenomenon in this material world. That's the way it is. It's confirmed by Krishna himself, you see. Time of awakening is considered night. Even as devotees, we like to wake up early in the morning. I'm getting up now at 2:30 a.m. You see, some people that's when they go to bed, 2:30 a.m. The materialistic person, his life begins after sundown. That's when his life really begins. He slaves it out all day at work and go through hell, but now it's time off of work, now it's my nightlife, time to enjoy, and then he sleeps as late as he can the next day. You see, you have to go out and slave it out again at the job, you see. So it's a whole different consciousness. We like to go to bed early, as Benjamin Franklin, Prabhupada quoted Benjamin Franklin, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, you see. So this early rising is very good, you see. You should be up for the Brahma Muhurta before it. Don't let the sun catch you sleeping. You see, get up early. You must get up before the sunrise if you want to become a human being. If you sleep through the sunrise, you're a dog. Sorry if I stepped on your toes, but sometimes we have to tell the truth. Everyone should rise early before the sunrise, you see. Take advantage of that time to meditate on the holy name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, actually, they've already been defeated, but in warfare, even after the victorious army comes through and defeats the opposing army, there's still some pockets of soldiers here and there, enemy soldiers. It's called a mopping up operation. So now we have to do a mopping up operation. Actually, Lord Chaitanya has already defeated them, but now we have a big, big mopping up operation to do. My bodies are everywhere. But actually, they've already been defeated by Lord Chaitanya. They've already been defeated. They may appear to be predominant, but actually, you know, and the dogs will bark, but the caravan will pass. Just barking dogs, Mayavadis. They're everywhere, but we're not disturbed. We know our business, Hare Krishna business, you see. We know that God's a person. We know that they're an illusion. So we try to help them, try to be kind upon them. I mean, Prabhupada is very kind to defeat this Mayavadi philosophy. So we're a little bit over time now, so we'll stop here and we'll come back here at 10:30 for session number 2. We'll go deeper into the subject matter. We'll be studying from the Upanishads some shlokas. We can see how the Mayavadis twist the shlokas to squeeze out their misinterpretation of Vedic understanding. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Is Grace Srimant Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.